Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Triple M Rocks the Footy. Here live and loud.
Welcome back to it. Yeah, we do it thanks to Iveco. They make those great trucks, don't they? Go and see your local Iveco dealer. Check out the special edition 888 Race Engineering Inspired Daily Light Truck.
The Redfern Rocket ever driven something from Iveco?
I haven't driven a truck.
Haven't you?
I haven't driven a truck. Do you know what I did when I was a young fella? My old man left his car. This is before RBTs, and my old man's a long time gone. He drove home his EH Holden. And there was nowhere to park, so he just left it out the front, double parked in Great Buckingham Street. I was about 13. He goes upstairs, crashes out. I jump in the EH Holden Premier at the age of 13, go four laps around the block, bring it back, park it. He comes out in the morning. I don't remember parking it there. Jumps in, drives off. Taught myself to drive, I did. How did we get onto that?
I don't know.
No, you did.
Did I? Boys, just some other little things going on in the game at the moment. I want to play you some audio here of Josh Dugan.
I think I've been an easy target since 2013, and you know, I can't see that changing. Doesn't matter how much stuff I do outside of footy. You know, I raised up to 15 grand for a young boy not that long ago. Visited him in hospital. He passed away. You don't hear about that. I feel like negativity sells papers. But I understand players are responsible for their actions, and I'm responsible for my actions as well, which I have been. You know, I've got a lot of brunt for the things that I've done, and I've accepted that and moved on from that. But you know, it also doesn't help when, you know, negativity sells papers more than a good feel story would.
All right, what do you think about that, Paul? What do you got to say about that?
Look, I think it's totally misguided. I know there's a perception out there that the media only do negative stories, but it's rubbish. It's rubbish that we only do negative stories, and it's rubbish that we only want to do negative stories. The day Josh Dugan said that, I went on NRL 360 that night. I pulled out the Telegraph, and we had 12 stories on rugby league in the paper, 11 of which were positive. The one story that you would construe as negative was Andrew G's appearance in the coach's box at the Brisbane Broncos game the weekend before, which, yeah, I could even argue that that's not a bad thing for the game. That's just part of the soap opera that's in the game. But that's all the rest were, it was Russell Crowe saying that the game was back page, was Russell Crowe saying this is South's biggest game since the 2014 grand final. It was James Tedesco winning the Blues Player of the Year. There was a story on the women's game. There was the Cronulla Penrith first time playing in the finals together despite coming in 1967. They're all positive stories. So that's one issue. One, the players need to be re-educated about what actually appears in the media, because I think most of it is actually positive. Then we get to the next issue of the ones that are clearly negative. Josh Dugan spoke about him raising $15,000 for a young boy that he visited in hospital and he passed away. He said, you don't hear about that. Well, it was actually on Channel 9 News. I spoke to Denny Wyther about this. He actually put the story to air 3 or 4 weeks earlier to the best part of 1 million viewers. So the story did go to air. So you do hear about that. Those stories are done. The next issue, though, and this is the big one for the game, and is the amount of times we in the media, and I would include everybody I know that reports on the game in this, who want to do stories, who will ring clubs in the hope of doing good stories, and are told for a variety of reasons, the club won't be doing that, the player doesn't want to talk about it, we've got no media today, you come in, he's not talking this week. There are all sorts of reasons offered and explained about why we can't do these stories, which are nothing but positive stories for the game. Yeah, I know one club, very close to your heart, Anthony, which doesn't like to give out any extra special stories on weeks when it's an away game. Because they prefer to save it for when it's a home game in the hope it actually helps the crowd. Now, I just think that's absurd. I think there's a news cycle where, you know, the thing about news, it's got to be current. Sometimes a story will come up that's a good story this week that's irrelevant next week. Okay? So you can't be saying, no, we're not going to do that this week because it's an away game. But that's the way some clubs think.
Hey, I'm going to bring my raging bull forward. I don't need the, you know, the little music that goes with it. I wrote an article. Oh. You're an idiot. He's quick.
So, Gordon, just for anyone who doesn't know what the Raging Bull is, this is where he brings up a topic at least that's grinding his gears and gets it off his chest. But are we supposed to go in after the 2:20 ad break? And this is a really unprofessional thing you've done here. I hope you've got something to go in at 2:20 now.
Today in my column, I wrote about the split between the players and the media. And it's been getting on my goat now for a while. And I come into a game where I'd have a beer with a journalist and we'd go away on a tour and he'd come out with us and we'd have dinner, we'd have that. If we're having a beer in the hotel bar that we're staying at, he would come in and we'd have a beer. Every now and then we would break off and then they'd do their own thing. Before my time, I think the journalists were always with the players. I think that they had a better relationship. Was that good? Maybe yes, maybe not. But they got to know the characters of the game. Was the truth written about a player? Maybe not. Was he protected a little bit? So I think the players had the upper hand there. Now, I think the media have the upper hand. I've worked on both. I didn't like everything that was written about me. I'm sure people don't like everything that I've said about those guys as well. But we got to come back together. Players are hiding at the moment. They're not talking to the media. The media, on certain occasions, aren't angels, and I don't trust some of them. To this day, I still don't trust some journalists. And I'm working with some of them to a point where, you know, I'm not talking about you, Paul.
let's clarify a few things here.
No, but because a couple of times that I've sat in the dressing room and I've said something and I'm trying to be as honest as I can to the journalists because they come in and they're doing their job, and then you ring them and they go, oh, mate, it wasn't me in the headline. So the headline didn't match the story, and I think some players have been eaten away from the headline to a point where the coaches are saying, well, don't talk to them because you're going to fire up this guy or do that. So I think we've got to get back together as a game. I think the players and the media have to get on a lot better. They start coming and wanting to talk to you when they turn 30 and they know that they want a job after it.
The players.
But between 20 and 30, they got to build a relationship. Yeah. And it doesn't help. And it doesn't help when Mad Monday, when the bloke's sitting there and everybody goes, oh, my, that's all right. Well, it's not all right because then players get their back up. As soon as you go and attack a mate, it happens. It's an Aussie trait that we like, that if someone's attacking your mate, you tend to all get together and stick up for them. So I would like to see that change. How it's changed, it can't come from the coaches. The coaches are going to keep on wanting the players not to hand out messages because obviously they want it all in-house. I think the game has to come down strong. Someone like a Graham Annesley and Todd to come and fix the problem for us to move forward.
I agree with you, Gordon. I think that, look, I felt sorry for Josh Dugan. He was obviously struggling this week when he said that. Yep. And he needs help beyond an arm around him at the moment from the looks of that. But the same token, it was a wonderfully convenient memory he showed. Mm. He says, yeah, I've been off since 2013 when he got sacked from Canberra. Well, he got sacked from Canberra for not turning up to training, going and sitting on a rooftop drinking Bacardi Breezes. Now, that's bizarre behaviour, okay? But that's why he was sacked. Dave Ferner was the coach at the time. Dave Ferner drove around. He got out of the car. Dugan yelled down, I'm not coming down. He said, Josh, I'm not here to talk you down. He said, I just wanted to come around and check that it was true. Mm. And he got in his car and he drove off and left him there. And that's yeah, they sacked him within days of that. But you go through the list of list of dramas that Josh Dugan's been involved in. Laurie Day lost his job because Josh Dugan and Blake Ferguson thought they'd go and have an afternoon on the beer halfway through camp. Okay, yeah. So there are real repercussions.
So, Paul, how do we fix it?
Look, Gordon, it's a long haul, unfortunately. And it begins...
So Josh doesn't feel this way, so he can come to a Paul, he can come to a James Hooper, he can come to someone and say, hey, mate, I'm struggling, can we get this story out? Mate, can we go a bit easy on this? I did the wrong thing. I'll give you the truth. How do we get back to
that? Look, I agree with you. I've been stitched up by journalists. I've agreed to do interviews for various things, and one line from my interview has made it, which was... Yeah, when you cut off what was said before it and what was said after it and just show that little bit, it's completely different from what I intended.
Mm. And I get that, Paul, you've got a voice now on 360.
I know that.
And you can write a column and all that, but some players can't.
I get that, Gordon. I get that. Look, and you know what? I don't talk to the bloke that did that to me. He doesn't work in meter anymore, and he can, as far as I'm concerned, I don't care what he's doing. So I understand that frustration from players. But the solution is not to remain bitter and angry and to continue to go the way we are, because the players negotiated for a revenue share of the game. They wanted to be partners in the game. Yeah. And we see this week, now, things like happened in the past few weeks, people can argue all they like about the players entitled to have Mad Monday on their own and do what they like. Unfortunately, they're not entitled anymore to just go and act like lunatics, okay? That world doesn't exist for anybody anymore. And you hear players say, oh, I wish it was like it was 20 years ago when you could go and do these things. And they hear stories from ex-players at their club, the things that they used to get up to on trips away and all the rest of it. But that doesn't exist, the same as the money back then doesn't exist. You can't have one without the other. Mm. And you got to have all this.
But the players get dirty because Phil Rothfield does something and he can write whatever he wants, and then there's a photo of him at somewhere and he doesn't get the same scrutiny.
He does get the same scrutiny.
But he's not a player. I know, but he's not the same player.
He does get the same scrutiny, Gordon.
Does he?
He has got
the
same. Was
it on the front page of the paper?
But not every player instance on the front page either.
Most.
I dispute that. You look at the story in the paper today.
No, I'm not saying, but that's what players talk about,
Paul.
Yeah,
but that's
why they're
wrong,
Gordon.
There's a story in the paper today about the Parramatta players. What is his name? Oh, look, I'll get to it in a minute. It's in the Herald today.
Yep.
T-Rex, okay?
Oh, yeah, Tony Williamson, yeah.
Testing positive for the second time. That hasn't gone page one. Mm. It depends. See, there's a thing out there, and there's no exact measurement for this, but you're as interesting as you are interesting, essentially. Sam Burgess is a big name in the game,
yep,
whether he likes it or not. Now, Sam's rewarded for that. He gets the benefits of being a big name in the game. Nobody's turned up to more openings in the last 10 years in rugby league than Sam Burgess, okay? So he gets the benefits of that, but with that, you've always got to remember, what you get is also what you've got to give sometimes. And if you step out of line, that's when you're giving. And that's the fact. Yeah. If Tony Williams had gone... if Sam Burgess had gone positive a second time for cocaine, it would probably be on the front page.
I take all that. So that's
Tony
one article.
Williams,
how do we fix the problem? How do we get
together? Look, I don't know, Gordon. It has to begin with... you know how you've got to break down the barrier between the two. I reckon one of the biggest sins that's we've allowed in the game in recent years is isolating players and media after the game in the dressing room. I know back in the day when you could walk in the dressing room after the game, and if I'd had a blue with you, Gordon, I'd written something during the week about you, I'd walk over and I'd say, mate, and I'd just basically front you, and I'd say, mate, you want to have a chat about what I wrote this week? Generally, you already knew, or we'd already had a chat about, because back then the players, despite a lot of players not having mobile phones, they were still accessible. They were still more willing to talk to the media. But because there's a thing that called the ratio distance, right? The bigger the distance between people, the easier it is to be impersonal with them. Mm. Okay, so it's easier for me to go and be critical of someone I've never spoken to, and will never speak to. Whereas someone like Sam, I spoke to this week, okay, who I know and who I like, okay, that makes it harder to talk about what he's done. And that's what happens. The closer you are to somebody, the smaller the distance, the more personal relationship you have with them, therefore the harder it is to be critical of that person. That is a human behavior. That is not a media athlete behavior. That's a human behavior. You think about people out there listening, with neighbors who they like or dislike or whatever. That's just the way it is. The players are in control of that ratio. As a media, we're trying to get closer.
So, Paul, in the old days, you're saying you'd go into the dressing room, like in the 90s.
You would sit down after a game with a player and you'd have a chat to them. And I would often talk to players after a game and not write anything. I'd say to them, mate, tough game out there, what happened? And they'd tell me whatever their thoughts were. Often they weren't great quotes. But what it did was it enabled us to get to know each other. Even if I didn't quote them in my story, it enabled me to get to know him. And sometimes, often I would say to players, I was younger in the game at the time and I was trying to build my contact book so I knew more people to talk to. So I'd often say, mate, listen, I might give you a call later. Can I get your phone number off you? And they'd say, yeah, mate, sure. It's 018. You know, that's what it used to begin back then, 018. And off we'd go. And so what... by doing building relationships, anywhere in the world, the secret to success is relationships. Whether you're running Coca-Cola and BHP, or whether you're a bricklayer out at Orange, okay,
or running Cashies,
yeah, or after Cashies, you know the value of networking. So what I'm saying though is what we've done though is we have put these roadblocks in between the media and the players. We have media managers now. We have players isolated in dressing room. And it all began as a move towards professionalism and about keeping the player, just keeping his environment pristine, so he's not complicated by somebody who's not part of the club coming in and asking questions. It's all about that. But the negative to it is greater than the advantage you've got out of it.
To the NRL's credit, I think they are actually looking at reopening up the dressing rooms for next season like they did in the old days. Like, yeah. We all remember when you could walk in and speak to a player, and certainly I think that was great at being able to foster better rapport between reporters and players. But I spoke to Jimmy Doyle at the NRL only as recently as last month, and he's actually looking at all sorts of media access for next season, and he said that was one of the biggest things that he had encountered, was a desire for broadcast people, but also for print reporters as well, to have the dressing rooms open after the games.
Yeah, like the players have got to get it. So I'm so stuck in the middle. The players come to do a promotion at Fox Sports, and all the guys that get paid bugger all money that are trying to turn these guys into the stars, they're all the ads that come up. My kids love it. It's promoting them to be a superstar, really. They're on television all the time. It's in a different light. And they were hard to deal with. You know, they're harder to deal with than George Clooney, you know? Mate, and all they had to do was stand there and, you know, spin a ball on their finger or something. So I think between both guys, we actually need to get an answer and we've got to get a solution.
All right, boys, we'll leave it there. We'll take a break. We'll come back and
thank you, Anthony.
That's all right, Gordon. Thanks for coming along today and giving us time.
That's my rant. I'm Gordon Taylor.
Thanks for crashing our other segment and putting your segment in the middle of that. And now I've got a segment at the end which we need to fill, so you can get working on that. We'll take a break and we'll come back with a little thing called...
About time you earn your money, old boy.
NRL Tinder as Triple M rocks the finals. And welcome back to Sunday Triple M NRL with Paul Kent, James Hooper, Gordon Tallis and Maroon. Thanks for all the emails and texts and tweets that have come through today for 4 and 20. Maroon, going to miss you in the off-season. Have a good off-season. Going to miss you. Maroon in the off-season.
Tweeting yourself again. Oh, my God.
So thanks for all those. They're lovely. Look, we've had an award-winning show today.
You need to have less rockets.
And I actually need to have more if anyone can. It's time for this.
Triple M's NRL Tinder.
So this is what happens here. If you like something, you swipe right. If you don't like something, you swipe left, just like we do in the real world of Tinder. But this is NRL Tinder. Let's start off with you, Gordon Tallis, because you've been annoying me even more than you usually do today, and you've done an outstanding job. The West Tigers using the new Western Sydney Stadium in 2019 during the development of ANZ. Are you swiping left or right?
Right.
You'd have to, wouldn't you? What about you, Paul?
Great idea.
Yeah, great idea. It's... I think it's a real positive that the Tigers are going to do that. It's going to be a great ground. I reckon it's going to be the steepest ground in Australia, the steepest grandstand. Yeah, wow. So it'll even be better than Suncorp. So that'll give you banana benders, something to whinge about.
And Hoops?
Yeah, you got to swipe right for sure, Maru.
Good stuff, isn't it? Angus,
you're a Tigers fan.
Angus Crichton's latest hairstyle, Gordon.
I shouldn't really be talking about hair. I think he went to the Emporium Barbers or something like that and got it done. Do you know what? Young man, he can do what he likes. I swipe right.
Paul?
Oh, look, it doesn't worry me. I'll swipe left from the fact that I wouldn't do it.
Okay.
I think I had a cut like that when I was about 25, so I'll swipe right.
Now, what about this one here that I want to start with you, Paul? The nation mesmerised by winks, but we were forced to endure another apparent private video of Bruce McAvaney watching the horse race.
Yeah, it's an unusual one, Maroon. I don't know why you put that on the list, but I will say I'll swipe left on that. I thought it was cringeworthy watching Bruce McAvaney watch that race, and she's in trouble. Mate, seriously, she won by 4 lengths. Like, that's the second time he's done that. I think Bruce, whoever's putting the private video on you, mate, tell him to turn it off.
What do you think is a bit of carry on there?
I think it's all staged. I think it's all fake. Yeah. I don't think it's really a look. Certainly, he loves winks and all that. But why we sit there and we're forced to endure watching Bruce McAvaney watch winks?
Yeah.
And then say she's in trouble. She did flatten a little bit there. There was about three strides where we thought, "Oh, hang on here," and then she kicked. But to be putting that out on your social media, like, what sort of world are we living in?
Wasn't a lot of the time she missed a jump and only one right on the line against Fox Play.
I think what we should do next time is have a video on you while you've got a video on Bruce McAvaney Bruce McAvaney's got a...
That would be good.
Are you swiping left or right on Brucey? Hoops?
I don't think she was ever in doubt. Winks for 27 straight. So, yeah, I'll swipe left.
And Gordon?
I'll swipe left. I don't need to watch him.
Cam McInnes being penalised for throwing the ball into Cameron Murray in last night's final against the Rabbitohs. Gordon, are you swiping left or right?
I'll swipe left.
Didn't like it.
They got it wrong.
All right. Hoops?
I'll swipe right because they changed the rule in the middle of the year, I think they just got it right.
What about you, Paul?
Look, I go off Tinder after this. I just think it's a waste of time if that's the case. look, the fact is they got the rule right because we changed the rule halfway through the year. But so from that reason and to remain consistent, I've got to swipe right because rules are rules, but it's a ridiculous rule.
All right, Triple M NRL Tinder. The next one is the boys are swiping left if they don't like, right if they like. The change to the stripping rule this year, which allows players to rake the ball after a second player drops off. Do you like that one, Gordon?
Love it. It's
a
contest.
I like it too.
There's a genuine contest back in the game.
Swiping right on that one. What about you, Paul?
Right. Absolutely love it. The thing about that is what I really like, and some clubs are already doing it, is they've got a word now that they yell that the player goes in, gets his hands on the ball, and if he thinks he can rake it out, he says to his, whatever, say it's code blue or whatever it is, red rocket, whatever it is, he says it to his teammate, who then drops out of the tackle, and his teammate then strips the ball. And as Gordon said, it puts the contest back in the game. Tyson Frizzell last night was great.
Okay. ScoMo, Australia's new PM. He's our PM this week.
Oh,
on field celebrating with the Sharks after the win over the Panthers. You swiping left or right on that, Hoops?
Oh, good luck to him. I'll swipe right. He's a mad Cronulla tragic. He's followed him all his life. So, yeah, up Cronulla. Good luck to him.
What about you,
Fester? I'm going to swipe right, and I'm going to send him a message to build the stadiums better. Put your hand in your pocket and look after our game, soldier.
Okay. What about you, Paul? Are you swiping left or right on ScoMo?
Otherwise not vote for him.
I'm swiping right because I think he actually is a genuine Cronulla fan. He's not turning up for just the publicity. And I saw some vision of him playing the other day. While he did drop one ball horribly, he actually did know how to do a little bit of a flick. Yeah, and I thought, well, he's actually at least had a football in his hands before, unlike the bloke who was before him who couldn't find his way to Shark Park.
Yeah, this guy's not a blow-in. He's a genuine NRL man. Roosters. Now, what about this? Roosters women's player Siamema Taufa claims the Broncos tried to target her injured knee in Friday's match. What do you make of these alleged tactics, Gordon? Are you swiping left or right?
Left. Welcome to the NRL, darling.
Righto. What about you, Paul?
Oh, look, I don't know the nature which they attacked it.
They tackled her legs, and she had a lot of strapping on her. I think it was her right knee.
But was there any twisting or anything illegal going into it that shouldn't be done, or was it just trying to make sure they tackled the leg hard?
You know, third man in, you know, they come in and obviously, you know, they targeted her left leg. She's a very good player. She's very powerful.
She's
hard to bring down anyway.
If you go onto the field carrying an injury, I think you should expect it's going to be targeted somewhat.
Hoops?
Yeah, you got to swipe left based on that.
Okay, what about this one? Gordon Tallis calling Siamema Taufa, the women's rugby league player, darling. Are you swiping left or right on that, Hoops? You just called her darling. Is that appropriate in 2018?
It's a term of endearment. He didn't mean it.
I don't think I like
it. In any other way. Why, what are you suggesting, Anthony?
No, I'm just suggesting that
you call everybody else's wife, darling.
This politically correct age.
You do have a thing
age.
For Jamie Soward's wife.
I don't have a thing for anyone's
you do.
Anyone's wife.
You
I have
do.
A thing for my wife.
You
and I don't have a thing for anyone's wife. All right.
Yes, you do.
So don't start making up rubbish like that.
You do.
Why did you go and throw Gordon under the bus for no reason?
Why do you all throw me under the bus?
Because you just threw Gordon under the bus. Unprovoked.
All right, Sarah, mate. Sarah's dark on you. He does not like the way you compliment him about his new wife.
So. Oh, she's a friend of mine, Maddie. I'm just being lovely to her, as I am to all of your wives.
Mate, can you lay off? All right.
Don't talk to mine.
If you think it'll help. Talk of Andrew Fifita capturing the Sharks. I beg your pardon. Talk of Andrew Fifita captaining the Sharks if Paul Gallant isn't fit for Friday's preliminary against Melbourne. Paul, left or right?
Swipe left.
Okay.
I think there's better leaders at the club from a whole of leadership point of view than Andrew Fifita.
Hoops.
I'll go left. Luke Lewis won the Clive Churchill medal and they won the competition in 2016. So I think if Gal's not there...
Yeah, it was only, 3 weeks ago he was standing up giving the coach a serve.
Yeah.
Are they going to make him captain, are you?
Good point. What about you, Gordon?
Left. He doesn't need it to play the way he's playing. You give it to somebody else that's going to be out there for 80 minutes.
Have a listen to this audio of Damien Cook from the Rabbitohs on Greg Inglis.
Everyone knew their job, had to go forward and just get Reno in the best position and... you know, make sure he can get the field goal, and he's one of the best in the business, and he knocks three over in a row. If we got Greggy to do it, we probably would have got 9 points for those 3 field goals. So, but Reno did a good job.
All right.
I didn't get that.
I thought perhaps it was a reference to a couple of years ago we played South played the Dragons at the SCG, and gee, I thought South were 1 point behind and kicked a field goal, but they were 2 points behind.
How do you get the 9?
Well, I don't know. I didn't do the sums on it, Gordon, but that's all I can think of.
It was South Sydney Mathematics.
Yeah. Does he spell it S-O-U-F-F-S, Souths?
Is that how you spell it, Gordon?
Yes.
Jeez. Are you swiping left or right on that?
Left. That was stupid.
Okay. What about you, Hoops?
I'll go left.
I'm confused. I don't know.
Where's the Maroon, what's going on with your team? What's going on?
What's going on with them? Is they're going to win one more game and they'll be in the grand final? They'll flog the Roosters. They'll flog whoever is. Then they'll win the premiership.
What about this segment? What's happened to this segment?
It's gone right off.
You've turned it pear-shaped.
It's gone right off track.
He's been thrown by Sowie's missus. It's just put him right on that.
You waited till 21 minutes out, eh? I've only got 21 more minutes of you. 3 more shows. Don't any of you come anywhere near me through October, November or December. Is that okay?
We don't even know where you go. I'm not visiting Long Bay.
Good. Right. ARL Rugby League Chairman Peter Beattie joined Fox League's NRL 360 this week and threw a couple of barbs Kendi's way. Have a listen to this audio.
We're all sparring partners.
Okay. That's right. Can I ask, are you nervous or excited?
Mate, I'm always nervous. I mean, when poor Kent's around, I'm nervous. I see he looks better with makeup on.
He's always tough to deal with. Don't worry, I work with him every night. Yeah?
He's okay. I mean, he's frank. You know, he doesn't muck about. If he's going to stab you, he stabs you in the front,
absolutely,
not the back. And I don't mind that.
Well, what about you?
Stabs you in the face front.
I have for a long time.
What
got
about
the
you,
opinion.
You little white ant coming in? You didn't tell me this was in there.
No, well,
in the front. You're in the back.
No, mate. I have formed an opinion earlier in the year that Peter Beattie is scared of Kenty. Are you swiping left or right?
What's the question?
The question is: was that a good bit of fun from?
Absolutely,
Peter Beattie.
Well, I thought, look, he's gone in. He's fronted up. It's not an easy position to go in and sit there and get hit with all the hard questions from Paul and from Ben Eichen. And, he got in there and he had a crack, Peter Beattie.
Okay, so swiping right.
I agree. Right, our game would boo Santa Claus.
All right.
I think good on him for having the courage to come in and just knowing that he wasn't going to just get thrown Dorothy Dix's. And that's, we talked earlier, Gordon, about what's part of the problem with the game. Part of it's about just manning up and understanding that the game needs some good honest conversations sometimes.
Okay.
And the fact that he was prepared to come in, he didn't ask the questions beforehand. The one thing he says, I want to talk about the future of the game. I said, there'll be plenty of that.
Okay, Sunday Triple M NRL is thanks to Aveco. Now, if you've missed the scores so far this round, it was Cronulla 21, Penrith 20, South 13, Dragons 12. And as always, those score updates are thanks to our mates at Tyre Power. Tyre Power buy 4 Pirelli Scorpion tyres, receive a tool set valued at up to $299. Tyre Power all over the place, all over Australia. Go and see them and get a great deal on your tyres. We're going to take a break, come back. Maybe you're having a bet on those two finals coming up next weekend or the grand final. We'll speak to you bet about that as Triple M rocks the footy.
You've never heard the footy like this. Triple M rocks the footy.
This is Triple M Footy.
And welcome back to it. If you missed any of today's show, you want to listen to every Triple M NRL call, regardless of where you are, go ahead and download the Triple M NRL app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Whether it's a catch-up podcast, maybe it's a live call, or maybe a full game replay, all exclusive to the Triple M NRL app. Download it now and don't miss a minute of the footy right here on Triple M, because all those big games coming up right here on the Triple M network. Now, you're with Paul Kent, you are with Gordon Tallis, James Triceps Hooper and Maroon. And if you're going to have a bet, maybe you do that with UBet, your home for the 2018 footy finals. UBet.com or download the UBet app and always gamble responsibly. Daff, Jared Daffy from UBet, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, boys.
Couple of big games this weekend, of course, this local derby. Everyone will be watching the Rabbitohs and Roosters. What are you doing there?
Well, we put the prices up at with the Roosters at 175 and the Rabbitohs 210. A small line there of 1.5 points. Just curious to see which way punters would go. But it looks like they're off South, because most of what we've taken today has been for the Roosters. And in the premiership betting, which we'll discuss in a minute, the same trend there. So, if anything, maybe the Roosters might shorten up a little bit. But you could put up a good case why either could win, really.
Yeah. Daff, will that change if once we find out what's happening with Greg Inglis? So, well, like, are punters being careful at the moment, fearing he might be charged?
Yeah, that's a possibility, and I guess you can't take a major player out of a game and not affect the betting, Kenny. So you're quite right. I think most will keep their powder dry until that's clear one way or the other.
What about the premiership prices, Daff? What's the latest in relation to that?
Well, Hoops, the money side now is definitely Melbourne Storm. That started about 2 or 3 days ago. Their favourites price-wise as well, they're 275, just ahead of the Roosters at 3. As I said, punters appear to have dropped off. South on the back of that that 1 point win last night, they were 375 this morning. We haven't struck a blow for them today. They're out to $4. And the one side who I thought nobody would want to touch at all were the Sharks, who were 850 this morning. A little bit of interest in them today at $8, but they're a pretty healthy price in that match next week as well.
Daff, Dally M betting, mate.
We've got two of us to check the favourite there at 250. Looks like a field of four, boys. Damien 250, Damien Cook 450, and then the two at $5, Kalyn Ponga and Val Holmes at $5. But of that quartet, Kalyn Ponga probably the most popular in the last week or two.
Would that be on the back of the fact he won the Player of the Year for the Players Association?
Yeah, that happens all the time. Every time a player wins anything at all, whilst the voting's done and dusted on these type of things, it seems to spur punters on. The other thing too that matters, of course, is if they're in a final series. I know it's got nothing at all to do with the voting, but it's sort of out of sight, out of mind. Two of us, Sheck's been out of most people's minds for a while now, as has Kalyn Ponga. So I guess the two that we'll probably see money for this week would be Cook and Holmes.
Yeah, good point. Okay, well, thanks so much, Daff. No doubt we'll talk to you again in the next couple of weeks, mate. All the best.
See you, guys.
You bet your home for the 2018 footy finals. Download the UBet app today and always gamble responsibly. This is Sunday Triple M NRL. Thanks to Iveco. We're back after this to wrap things up. Sunday Triple M NRL. It's thanks to Iveco with Paul Kent, James Hooper, Gordon Tallis and Maroon. Just about to wrap things up here. Hoops, who's stayed around for an extra hour. He's on double time. He thinks he's back in the 80s working at Fleming's, getting his pocket money. Mate, there's a couple of great games, some great rivalries come together over the weekend. Sharks-Melbourne, 2016 Grand Final, and of course that Rabbitohs-Roosters rivalry, which is timeless. But it's a big ask, isn't it, for Cronulla to go to Melbourne?
Look, it is. It's a dream result for the NRL, having the final four clubs that do remain. But they've got a good record down there. The issue is, you know, Paul Gallen's only rated a 50-50 proposition with that shoulder injury. We think Luke Lewis will play. They're already missing Wade Graham. So the main concern for Cronulla is, at this time of the year, the sides that you often see really kick again are those with the healthiest rosters, and you don't want to have too many of your key personnel injured. So, look, I think they're a chance, but the week off for Melbourne, and Nelson Asofa Solomona back and Will Chambers back, you got to lean towards the Storm.
You give them a chance without Wade Graham and maybe Paul Gallen?
Yeah, I do, Cronulla, because they're a little bit of a bogey side for the Melbourne Storm. As I touched on, they've beaten them down there only a month ago. They beat them down there their previous clash as well. So they've got a great rivalry, these two sides. And given what's at stake, being a grand final qualifier, I think everybody will be up for it, Maroon.
Okay, what about you, Paul? You give Cronulla a chance with those injuries?
Oh, look, they're going to need some luck, but I think the way the game's played these days, if you get a bit of a run, you can do some damage. And Cronulla are a side that they're probably best equipped out of anybody to play Melbourne, the way they play the game, just their styles. It'll be like two pythons wrestling this week. Mm-hmm. That's what it's going to be. And but given that, without Gallen and without Graham, I think Cronulla are really up against it. It's going to be a tough old tussle.
Okay, Allianz Stadium, the Rabbitohs and the Roosters. This is a wonderful old rivalry between two inner-city clubs, both virtually situated in the same area for those who aren't in Sydney and don't know the geography. Who do you like for this one, Gordon?
Well, it's a tough one. Oh, I think Roosters. I think Roosters having a week off this time of year, getting everything right. I know that there's no Luttrell, but I think the Roosters rested up. The pressure's on Cooper Cronk, you know, and he will want to shine at this time of year. And, you know, everybody talks about pressure on Ben Hunt and all these other guys. I think there's a lot of pressure on Cooper Cronk. I'm going to go Roosters in a real tight one. Real tight one.
I'm not convinced about the Roosters, but I think the fact that they've had a week off and had the opportunity to rest up while South are playing a little bit injured really puts the Roosters in good position.
Okay. What about you, Hoops? You give the Rabbitohs a chance against the Roosters?
I think the Bunnies are a chance. I'd like to see what happens in relation to Greg Inglis. We still haven't discovered whether he will be charged by the match review committee or not, so I'd like to see what happens there. And I think Sammy Burgess is the other crucial element of it. I think if Sam plays, then the Rabbitohs are a damn good chance of going through. But I think if he doesn't, well, then you'd have to definitely lean towards the Chooks.
Why haven't we heard, you reckon?
What's that?
About Inglis. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You think we'd know. You think the NRL would put out their release already by now. Like they've clearly had to have watched the game. What's going on?
They might be waiting until we're off air.
Just for spite. All right, Paul, great to catch up with you, mate. We'll see you on NRL 360.
See you, Anthony.
And Hoops, good on you, mate. Thanks for doing that last hour.
Thanks, Anthony.
For
pleasure,
free.
Mate. Pleasure.
Good on you. Gordy, I'd like to say it was a pleasure, mate. But
listen, you've got to give him a bit of your cash.
Gordon. The less you say, the better. Triple
I love
M,
you, Anthony.
NRL finals. We'll have them live right across the Triple M network. Bye for now.